I can imagine one or two of you listening to that reading thinking, well, thank goodness I don't have to worry because I'm not rich. And this is traditionally one of those stories that's called The Rich Young Ruler. You'll also find it in Luke and also in Matthew. It's one of those stories that's in all three Gospels, and that's where we get the idea of this being the rich young ruler who's coming to see Jesus. I was interested reading in the magazine, though, what it means to be rich. And they had this quote, "If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, a place to sleep, money in the bank and spare change in a dish somewhere, you are richer than 75% of the world." So I suspect quite a few of us in this room are probably technically rich. If you're very rich, see me afterwards. I'll sort that out. As I said, the theme today is letting go. And I was struck when I looked at the verses that had been set for me this morning to look at the, as you often do when you're a preacher, you look at the verses before and the verses after what you've been asked to preach on. And just after these particular verses, the disciples come to see Jesus and they say, wow, this is a bit of a shock. But then they say, we gave up everything for you. And if you remember back in Mark 1, you have that story of Jesus going along by the side of the Galilee and seeing them and them deciding to follow him, Peter and Andrew and James and John. They leave everything, in a sense that they literally let go of their nets and their boats to follow Jesus. As you heard, this rich young ruler, fundamentally, he's a very good person. He's kept the commandments, and of course he's actively seeking to be a better person. He wants to know, he's very different to the other story, the person that wants to build bigger barns, that power, the man that builds a barn, then he decides to build a bigger barn. He wants to be rich, and Jesus says to him, you fool. Whereas in this situation, Jesus loves him and wants to encourage him. And let's also remind ourselves, of course, it isn't money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money, as we're reminded in 1 Timothy. The love of money is the root of all evil. But for this particular person, it was money that was holding him back from a deeper experience of God's loves and God's purpose for him. And as I was thinking this, I was thinking, actually, what about me? And what about you? See, at its very heart, Christianity is about letting go. That story when Nicodemus comes to meet Jesus by night and Jesus says, you must be born again. It's that fundamental. We let go of the old life. In Romans chapter 3, Paul talks about dying and rising. The idea of being reborn, of being recreating, and letting go of the old. And it has such a dramatic impact, as we're reminded where Paul writes the Galatians, says that it's so new. There's going to be neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. It's a really transformational experience as you learn to let go. The Sermon on the Mount, you'll perhaps be familiar with that constant refrain of Jesus. You have heard it said, but I say to you. And that guy gets five times. Jesus says, well, this is the old way, you've heard it said, but let go of that, because now there is a new way, a new beginning, a new start. And it's a letting go that, of course, is rooted in Jesus himself. As we heard in those verses from Philippians. Now, I know you've missed David and his Greek, so I've got a Greek word for you today, just to take away with you. It's called the kenotic theory. But you knew that. The idea of the emptying, kenosis, to empty. In that reading in Philippians, the idea is that Jesus empties himself of all the power he could have. This is the Son of God we're talking about. He empties himself. He lets go of his power, of his godly authority, in order to become as we are. And it is only in as becoming as we are, it's only as in letting go, that he is then able to recreate the bridge back to God through the cross. And it's ongoing, and it offers us hope, it offers us forgiveness. That lies at the heart of letting go. So how good are you at letting go? We've lived in our house for 25 years. We can never move. There's too much stuff in it. I'm hopeless at letting go. My study is a mass, which I understand, but nobody else does, I don't think. Because I'm hopeless. If I'm walking down the street and I see a screw, I pick it up. I've got a collection. I've got jars and boxes of screws and similar things. It may be something different for you. When I retired and had to get rid of all my books, that was 600 books that I'd collected over 40 years. That was a struggle, letting go of my books. I sent them to Bibles for Africa, so they went to a good use. But I found letting go very hard. So how good are you at letting go? I was reading on a Celtic Christianity website. It read, one of the hardest lessons in life is letting go, whether it's guilt, anger, love, loss, betrayal. Change is never easy. We fight to hold on, and we fight to let go. You see the paradox there? We struggle either way. We struggle because we want to hold on to something. We struggle because we want to let go of something. Now, if you're old like me, who remembers Cracker Jack? You're all meant to say Cracker Jack when I said, thank you, thank you. Come on now. They did revive it briefly, didn't they? I seem to remember. But Cracker Jack in its classic form, I refuse to let go of that, used to end with people answering, and every time you got a question right, you got a present, and you had to hold it. And every time you got a question wrong, you got a cabbage, that's right, a cabbage. This isn't making sense to some of you, is it? I can see this. But the idea, obviously, what you mustn't do, what you haven't got to do is drop it. Once you drop something, you're out of the game. So you get something right and cabbages and things. And, of course, the temptation was always to ask another question until eventually you lost because you let something go. Now, we've just sung Spirit of the Living God, which has that rather challenging phrase, break me, melt me. See, the problem is most of us don't get past the first bit, because to be broken, to be melted, it means letting go of what you believe to be what you are. A simple exercise. You don't need to stand up like me. But so often, this is how we are. We are closed fists. And we say, Lord, give it to me and give it to me now. I want this, I want that. But until we open our palms, until we let go of whatever it is that we're grasping, there is no possibility of God putting anything into our hands because we want to hold on. Because we don't want to let go for a whole variety of reasons. That verse from Revelation, you know, that picture, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God's very patient sometimes, very gentle, just knocks away. But we're the ones that have to do the opening. Remember Holman Hunt's famous picture where there's no handle on, as it were, Jesus' side. We have to open it from our side of the door. The problem is, of course, change, letting go, it's often linked to our emotions, our feelings, our memories, our history. And at times, of course, letting go feels like a bit of a betrayal. But if we fail to let go, we could end up being the ones who are damaged and hurt, blocking a fuller relationship with God and others. Some of you might have seen last week was the 20th anniversary of the bombing at Omar, when 29 people were killed, a terrible atrocity. But they've decided that that's going to be the last one in that format. And they're interviewing someone saying, you know, it's only 20 years. Why are you stopping now? He said, the difficulty is it's too damaging for those who are coming to it. They're finding it too traumatic to remember the events of 20 years ago. So in other words, they decided to let go of it simply because it was actually, rather than heal, it wasn't a healing experience. It was a harmful experience. And it was only in the letting go that was going to be any sort of hope for them. The rich young ruler goes away very sad because he's very rich. He has the challenge. He knows what he has to let go of in his particular case. But it's too difficult. But the trouble is, it's not easy either. It's very easy to say, break me, melt me, or sing it. But the reality, I think, is painfully difficult. Again, just to repeat that Celtic Christianity quote, one of the hardest lessons in life is letting go. Whether it's guilt, anger, love, loss, or betrayal, change is never easy. We fight to hold on, and we fight to let go. And sometimes, of course, we're not perhaps aware of what it is we might be struggling with. I came across an article, and it was talking about Archbishop Justin Welby, the current Archbishop. Some of you might be aware, his daughter was killed when she was very young in a car accident. He wasn't in the car. He wasn't involved in the accident at all. And he talks here about the struggle. I thought we'd sort of forgiven and dealt with that, but I realised a few years ago that I hadn't. I just shelved it. It revealed to me the depths of how one can deceive oneself. And that's the other danger sometimes. We don't let go of things. We shelve them. We file them away. We put them somewhere in our memories, in our minds, for whatever reason. And again, I found this quote. This was somebody talking from Palestine and the troubles that have been going on there. And someone whose daughter had been killed. And he said, I cannot forgive, but I know that violence begets greater violence. And there is no future in that. In other words, he'd come to the point where he knew he had to let go of the awful tragedy. But he also knew at that time he couldn't. But at least he was aware of the struggle that was about to take place. And I was thinking, well, obviously, for each of us, it will be a different experience, a different aspect of our life that we might have to learn to let go of for God. When I was a younger Christian, I suppose, I used to think a lot about the gifts of the Spirit. There's a couple of dozen of them. You know, and I say, okay, Lord, they'll do me. Just give me 20. Let's start with 20, you know. And perhaps paid less attention to the fruit of the Spirit, which you find in Galatians. And more, as I get more old and gnarled, I look in the mirror and wonder who it is I'm looking at, and then I think, oh, it's me, isn't it? It's me. I become more and more convinced that it's more the fruit of the Spirit, or trying to become more like the fruit of the Spirit. That's where we find our strength and our guidance. You can say it with me, the fruit of the Spirit. And remember, it's one fruit. It's not nine fruits. You can't say, oh, I'm going to have a bit of love, and I'm not going to say, God, I'm forgiven. It's meant to be like a tangerine, you know, just one fruit in nine segments. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. And of course that bit then, and against such there is no law. It isn't a legalistic thing. So I was thinking, well, as I struggle to let go of things in my life, how am I going to, as it were, challenge myself and encourage others? And it seemed to me that's where the key for me lies. It's in looking at that fruit of the Spirit and saying, are those things that I'm holding on to, that I, as it were, God is challenging me to be broken and to be melted around, are those things helping me in terms of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? Or are they helping me? If you look in the first part of that chapter, it's pretty grim, I have to tell you. You know, as Paul contrasts, as it were, the fruit of the Spirit with the fruit of the flesh, so to speak. How am I making that balance? You'll find on the front of the order of service a little verse right at the top there. And it says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And I suppose that's what I want you to take away today. It isn't easy. Yes, we all want to be remoulded, but we don't necessarily want the breaking part. But to take away the God who can strengthen us. And it's quite simple. Closed fists, which look quite violent, don't they, really? Closed fists. Or open palms. May God help us to the people who offer to him our open palms, our open lives, who are willing to accept his forgiveness and his renewal and the hope that it contains. Amen.